Well, turning your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Matthew chapter 1, this morning we're going to look at a man who actually had to trust God. His name is Joseph. It's that great time of the year. I love this time of the year. We call it Christmas. We celebrate the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. We sing the songs. It's really a great time. But what we're going to do is we're going to look at Joseph, and he's the husband of Mary and the one who helped to raise Jesus Christ. When we think of the Christmas story, we think of the Mary and Joseph and the baby and the shepherds and the trip and all of that. Well, this morning we're going to see basically the Christmas story from the eyes of Joseph. He's been described as a quiet man. Why? Because Joseph never speaks a word in the Bible. There's some information given to him through dreams, but his actions speak louder than words. So as we study this morning, we're going to look at Joseph, and we're going to see what his first Christmas or the Christmas was like for him. Sometimes things don't work out like we want them to. I mean, that happens. You know that. It seems sometimes things fall apart. I read this about a family that was going to go on vacation. They packed their car, got everything all ready to go, put the stuff on the top and everything. And just as they got out of town, they were in an accident. Nobody was hurt. But the vacation was canceled. Once when I was about 12, I wanted an 8-track player. Now, some of you don't remember an 8-track player, but I wanted an 8-track player. That was before cassettes, and then it was, CDs and all of those things, which all these newfangled things. But anyway, so my mother and daddy got me the 8-track player on Christmas Eve. I opened it up. It never worked. Never worked at all. It never, we had to take it back. I read this was about 2 years ago, that the Hershey's company had this huge chocolate horse. They had made this chocolate horse for some special deal, and they shipped it there. And when they got there and opened it up, it was like 1,000 pieces because the vibrations of the motor just tore it to pieces. And so sometimes things don't work out the way we want them to work out. This morning we're going to look at Joseph. And I call him a great man because he's just incredible in the scripture. And he has all these plans, but you know what? It doesn't work out like he thought it was going to work out. He's engaged to this beautiful young girl. He might be as old as 20 to 22. She could be as young as 14 or 15. And they've got plans, but they fall apart. And we're going to see why and what happens, but God intervenes. And we're going to look at his marriage, his plans, and his obedience to God. So let's think first about marriage for just a second. Marriage is really special, especially when you think about the wedding and planning everything. You know, as a pastor, I get to be a part of that. I've done a little over 300 weddings in my life as a pastor. So, it's just amazing. I saw a couple on Thursday that I had married them in 1993. And I said, y'all look a little different. And he said, well, you look a little different too. But anyway, so when you think about it, Joseph is going to get married. This is his plan. Let me give you an idea. Nowadays it's different. Back in those days, the families usually set up the weddings and set up the husband and wife. Now, a guy may see somebody and say, oh, I'm interested in her. And in some Jewish villages, they had matchmakers and those kind of things. But normally the fathers had already talked. And one father would say to the other father, I have my son, his name is Joseph, and you have your daughter, her name is Mary, and I think maybe this could work out. And they say, okay, that's fine. And then what Joseph would do, since that he wanted to marry her, and so the fathers had talked, so Joseph would then go to Mary's home, and he basically came with an offer. He's going to ask her to marry him, and he's going to ask her to establish a covenant. That's what they're going to do. And so Joseph is on the way, and he prayed that she would say yes. He had in his hand a little box or a little bag. It was called the mohair, which had money in it. It was like a down payment. It was like a dowry. He came with money and basically gave to the father and said, I would like to marry your daughter. So after getting to the house and talking with the father and giving the mohair down, then in this room there would usually be a little table, and they had two glasses, two cups, two something, and some wine. And then Mary would come into the room. And when she came into the room, Joseph would talk to her, and then he would then take and pour two cups. And if Mary took her cup and drank it, and he drank it, she's saying, I will marry you. And so then there was a covenant right then. And they would say they're betrothed and engaged, but to break that would be a divorce. Okay? Now, if she didn't want to marry him, she would just walk out the room. That'd be a tough thing to handle, you know. So he goes, and you can just guess what happened. He went in there. He put the money down. Mary comes in. They know each other. They're looking at each other. He pours it. She drinks. He drinks. And the covenant is made. Joseph quickly announced, I go to to my father's house and prepare a place. And when I get it ready, I will come back and be with you. Because that's what they did. They didn't go get another separate place. They usually went back to his house, built a section on to his own father's house, and then brought her to be with them. So this is the story of Joseph. He's so excited. But something happens. And as we look at this passage this morning, we're going to see Joseph is a really special man. And so what we're going to look at is three things. We're going to see Joseph's character. That's verses 18 and 19. We're going to see Joseph's message. This is a message that God gives to Joseph, and we'll see that. And then we'll see Joseph's response to the whole thing. So let's start with his character. Realize that Joseph was a descendant of King David. Do you understand that? If you go back to Matthew chapter 1, in the very first part, it talks about these are the generations of, and it talks about that Jesus was a descendant of Abraham and David. And as it goes through, Joseph himself was a descendant of King David. Now, best we can tell, Joseph does not have any money. And the best we can tell as well, Mary's family didn't have any money. So they're not very wealthy at all. And compared to that day and time, we would just say, well, they're just the average poor people. I mean, a lot of people didn't have money in those days. There were some rich people. There was not much of a middle class. There was some very elite rich people. And then there were poor people. And Mary and Joseph are poor people. And so, but he's a descendant of David. So he could probably look around and say, you know what? I'm a descendant of the greatest king that's ever been on this earth, King David. And so as we see this, normally, as I said earlier, that men marry between 18 and 22, and girls could get married between 14 and 16. That's just sort of normal. And here's what happened. Matthew chapter 1, verse 18. Now, the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. We go, wait a minute, so what do you mean? What do you mean? That's how we'd say it. What do you mean? And so what we find out is this young girl named Mary is going to have a baby, but the baby is from the Holy Spirit, and this baby is going to be Jesus Christ the Messiah. Now, you can imagine that, and I want you to understand this, that when they drank and made that covenant, I mean, they're as good as married. They don't live together. In fact, it's usually about a year. It took about a year to get everything prepared and to look at each other's lives and make everything. But if anything happened and they wanted to end it, it would be a divorce. It wouldn't be just like, well, I'm not going to marry you now. We were engaged, but now we're not engaged. That wasn't the way it was. And so all of a sudden, Joseph finds out that Mary is going to have a baby. Okay, now, what do you think he thought? And he thought, what? What is going on here? I mean, I think I know you. I thought I knew you. What do you mean you're going to have a baby? I mean, you can almost see her say, well, I've got some good news and some bad news. I mean, the good news is I'm going to have a baby, and it's going to be the Son of God. And the bad news is nobody's going to believe us. You know, I mean, that's really it. But so she comes to him, and you can just imagine, he thought, I can't buy this one, right? I mean, you're pregnant by God, and the baby is the Messiah that we've always waited for. That's what it is. So look what it says about him, because I want you to see, because we're looking at his character, and I don't want you to see, first of all, that Joseph is a righteous man. Look at verse 19. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. Now, when it says righteous man, remember to understand that the betrothal was binding, so if they were going to end it, it would have to be a divorce. It would have to be something big. Now, when it says righteous can mean two things. First of all, righteous can just mean fair. And right, that it could be saying, you know, he's just a good man and he's fair and right and he would do the right thing. But I think it actually means something more than this. Because see, a righteous person in the Bible, when it says that they were righteous, it means they were one who were right with God. See, to believe in the Messiah, back in those days, if you put your faith in the coming Messiah, you were declared righteous. You were born again. You were a new creation in Christ, and you had God's righteousness. So when it says that Joseph was a righteous man, I think it's saying not only did he do the right thing, but he also was one who had believed in the Messiah. See, the truth is we've all sinned and come short of the glory of God, and the wages of sin is death, and all we like sheep have gone astray. And all this. And so man is not righteous, but when we trust Jesus Christ, we become righteous. We get God's righteousness by faith. Joseph, best we can tell, maybe had trusted the coming Messiah, believed in the Messiah. He didn't even know it, but the Messiah he believed in was inside his wife's womb. He didn't know it. Righteousness comes by faith. You realize that every one of us in this room, if you have put your faith in Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are perfectly righteous. God has given you his righteousness, Romans 4, 5, but to him it does not work, but believes in him who justifies the ungodly, his faith is credited for righteousness. Philippians 3, 9, being found in Christ, not having my own righteousness, which is of the law, but the righteousness of God, which comes on the basis of faith. So whenever you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior, God gives you his righteousness. So you are righteous. That's why 2 Corinthians 5:21, for God who made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. So every one of us in this room, if you've trusted Christ, you're righteous. I think Joseph was righteous. I think Joseph had believed in the coming Messiah, and so he was righteous. But there's a second thing. Notice, it says, and Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. I think another thing about him, he was a sensitive person. He was sensitive. He didn't want to disgrace her. He wanted to put her away privately. I think he loved her. I think he thought, I just don't understand how this could happen. I love her. I wanted to be with her, but something's wrong, and so I'm going to put her away. Now, he could put her away in a number of ways. And by the way, he could have put her away publicly. In fact, because she was pregnant in between that year, she's become pregnant before they went to, actually were together. He could have her stoned publicly. He could have her brought out publicly and put to death. He could also publicly divorce her, not stone her. He could come forth and make public declaration that she had uncleanliness in her, going back to Deuteronomy chapter 24, and to get rid of her that way. Or privately, he could just get a divorce, get the papers, write her a paper. According to Deuteronomy 24, he had to give her a certificate of divorce and send her away. His plan was to do it privately. He was a sensitive person. He did not want to do it and make her look terrible. He was sensitive. Are you and I sensitive? You know, at this time of the year, it's real easy to pretend, especially a lot of people, pretend everything is so happy. It's Christmas. Everything's happy. But a lot of people aren't happy. There are people who've lost loved ones, and Christmas is actually a sad time. It's not a happy time. I mean, everybody else seems to be happy, but you're not happy because you miss somebody. Or there's things that everybody else seems to be getting everything, and you got nothing. I mean, and so sometimes we need to be sensitive to people and to look around and to see who might be hurting at this time of the year. Because there are people who are struggling at this time of year. It always is. And so often we just think that everybody's happy at Christmas. It is the greatest time. It's the birth of our Savior. But that doesn't mean everybody's happy, and we need to be sensitive. Look at our loved ones. Well, what a character. I mean, think about this guy. Righteous and sensitive. So here's the problem. This righteous man is engaged to this young girl, and she's pregnant. And what do you think people are saying? You understand that never went away. You understand this? When Jesus, 30 years later, when he's doing his ministry, some of the religious leaders say to him, at least we weren't born in sin like you. It went back 30 years earlier. See, they never forgot it. Talk about a stigma. So what's he going to do? Well, we know what happened that right after this, an angel, well, before this, of course, an angel came to Mary and said that she was going to have a son, and the son would be the Messiah. He'd be the king of Israel. He'd sit on the throne, and he'd rule forever. And the best that we can tell is she took off. In the Luke passage where the angel comes to her, and she's a little bit nervous, and, you know, how does this be? And the angel says, the Holy Spirit's going to come upon you, and that which is conceived in you is of the Holy Spirit, and he'll be the Son of God. She understands that, and she leaves. She may have said, hey, Joseph, I'm leaving to go visit one of my relatives who lives in the southern part of Israel. Her name is Elizabeth. And she gets down there, and Elizabeth is 6 months pregnant with a baby, which we call John the Baptist. And she goes down there, and she spends 3 months with Elizabeth, and John the Baptist, the baby, is born. So when Mary comes back, she's at least 3 months pregnant. And so when she comes back, you can see Joseph saying, wait a minute, where did you go? Where did you go? I thought you went to visit your cousin Elizabeth, but you come back and you're pregnant? This doesn't add up. And she said, well, I just want you to know that this is of God, It's the Holy Spirit come upon me, and this baby is the Messiah, the Savior of the world. And you can see Joseph say, I don't believe you. I'm sorry. And what we're going to do is we're not going to make a big deal out of this, but we're going to have to end this. And we'll do it quietly. Wow. What a story. Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But what happened? Joseph gets a message from God. He was going to put her away when an angel of the Lord appeared in a dream. Look at the next verse. But when he had considered this, he was going to put her away. Behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Why? For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. An angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. We don't know who it was. We know Angel Gabriel appeared to Mary. It could be Gabriel here. We don't know. You notice that Joseph never says a thing, but four different times it's in a dream. Matthew chapter 1, verse 20, in a dream. Matthew chapter 2, verse 13. And when they had gone, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Chapter 2, verse 19. Behold, Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream. Chapter 2, verse 22. And he heard raining and then being warned by God in a dream. Over and over. Now, do you remember there's an Old Testament guy? His name was Joseph. He had a lot of dreams too. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph. God used dreams in Joseph's life. God is using dreams in this Joseph's life. So when he considered putting her away, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream saying, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife. For the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. God revealed the word to him through an angel in a dream. Now think about us. How does God reveal to us things? Through the word. We have the written word of God. It is alive and powerful and sharper than a two-edged sword. We don't have to worry about whether some dream and whether it was a real dream or not a real dream. We don't have to worry. So here's the question. Do you know the word? And do we apply the word? Do we know it and apply it? We want to be men and women who obey the Bible, because this is what Joseph's going to do. So the message comes and says, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife. Why? Well, because she's going to bear a son. You shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Don't be afraid to take her. Why? Because the baby is conceived by the Holy Spirit. God produced this child, and you're going to call him Jesus. The word Jesus, Yeshua, is the same Old Testament name as Joshua. Joshua and Yeshua, same name. Jesus and Joshua, the same name. One's Old Testament name, one, you know. And so Jesus means Savior. He will save his people from their sins. I want you to understand something. Salvation is in a person. It is not what you do. It's not your actions. It's not your trying to be good or getting baptized or doing anything. Salvation is not in your works or goodness. Salvation is in the person of Jesus Christ. He is the Savior. He died and rose again. He offers you the gift of eternal life. So salvation is in a person. He is the way and the truth and the life, and no one comes to the Father except through him. Joseph realized that that baby inside Mary is the Son of God, that God told him through an angel in a dream that don't be afraid to marry her. Don't be afraid to take her, because this child is conceived of the Holy Spirit. And then Matthew, who is writing this, says, I don't want you to miss this. He said, now all of this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the Lord through the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall be with a child, and shall bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which is translated God with us. Matthew says, this is all from the Old Testament. This is what Isaiah said in Isaiah 7:14. Isaiah said in 7:14, behold, the virgin shall be with a child. And then he also quotes Isaiah 9:6. He puts it together and says, she shall bear a son, and they'll call him Emmanuel, which is God with us. The child is the Son of God. The child is born, the Son is given. The Son always exists, by the way. The eternal Son of God has always existed, but at a point in time, the child was born. The Son always existed. Mary had not been unfaithful. She was chosen out of all the women in the world to bring the Savior of the world into the world. So what have we seen? We've seen Joseph's character. We've seen Joseph's message. Well, what's Joseph's response? Well, we see it over and over, and it's obedience. This is what he did. He obeyed. He obeyed the word of God. Look at verse 24. And Joseph awoke from his dream and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him, and took Mary as his wife. But he kept her a virgin until she gave birth to the son, and they called his name Jesus. He did as the angel commanded. Have you thought about it? He married her. He named the baby Jesus, and he raised the child. Now, you might think that if the child is the Son of God and he's perfect, it's not going to be hard to raise. No, there's going to be a lot of issues with this baby. From the very beginning, there are going to be issues. So what happened? He's going to marry her. People are talking already. People are saying, you know that she's pregnant. They're not. There's something wrong here. He's still going to marry her. And then they get word that they have to go and go to the southern part of Israel, because there's a decree went out that all the world had to be taxed. And so they had to leave the northern part of Israel, Nazareth, and go to the southern part of Israel, Bethlehem, because he was the lineage of King David. And he had to go back to the hometown of King David, which is Bethlehem, house of bread. And so they make the trip back, and she's about to give birth, and it takes so long to get there. There was no place for them. There was no relative's place for them. They had to be out in a who knows where, and the baby was born, and they put him in a feed trough, and there he is, the Savior of the world. And that night, angels came and told some shepherds, and the shepherds came, and it's the most incredible event, the birth of the Savior of the world. But there's more, because you get to chapter 2, and 2 years have passed. 2 years have passed. And I want you to notice chapter 2, verse 1. Now, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, 2 years have passed, Magi from the east arrived in Jerusalem saying, and so this is what I want you to see, his response is to obey. We are to obey. So the wise men now come, and he says, where's he who's been born king of the Jews? We saw his star in the east. We've come to worship him. And when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. Now, I wanted to remind you that 2 years later, some magi, some astronomers, astrologers, not even sure, but the people who had looked at the sky, they had probably got word from Daniel all those years ago, 600 years earlier. Daniel had told him about there would be a star and a Messiah and a Savior, and the king of the Jews would be born. And these religious magi from the east make this trek. And we're not sure when they started, but by the time they get there, it's been almost 2 years since the birth. A star led the way. They come into Jerusalem. They don't go to Bethlehem. They go to Jerusalem. And they go into the city, and they say, and by the way, it's a bunch of them. It's not three people on three camels. It's a bunch coming. It's a big caravan, because it says, when Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. I mean, this is wild. These people have come, and they want to know where is the one born king of the Jews. Herod's really upset, because Herod thinks he's king of the Jews. He's been appointed king of the Jews. He's not born king of the Jews, and he wants to rule everything. And so all of a sudden, these people have shown up and said, we want to find the baby that is born king of the Jews. So he calls in Herod. Calls in the religious leaders and said, about where is that Messiah supposed to be born? They look it up in Micah chapter 5, verse 2, and it says, in the land of Bethlehem. Micah chapter 5, verse 2, that's where he's going to be born. And so Herod tells the wise men, go find him in Bethlehem. When you find him, call me. Let me know, get some word back to me, and I will come down there and worship him. What he really wants to do is come down there and kill him. And so they go. And I want you to see this. So they come, and at verse 9 of chapter 2 says, and after hearing the king, they went their way, and the star which they'd seen in the east stood before them and went over the place where the child was, and they saw the star, and they rejoiced. And I want you to notice something, that after coming into the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they fell to the ground, and they worshiped him, and they opened their treasures, and they presented to him gifts of gold and frankincense and myrrh. We studied myrrh in the Grow Group this morning. But I want you to notice something. Every manger scene I ever saw growing up had the manger scene, of course, and the feed trough and the baby and the shepherds and the three wise men, but they weren't there. This is in a house, and he's a child. He's a little boy. He's not a baby. And so what happens? They bring the gold, frankincense, and myrrh. This is, and that's rich. Boy, that's, they've never had money in their life, and all of a sudden they have gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And gold is expensive, and frankincense is expensive, and myrrh is expensive. And all of a sudden they got these presents, and they're probably going, what are we going to do with all this money? Well, it says in verse 13, when they had gone, that when the wise men left, when they had gone, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph, guess how, in a dream, and said, get up, take the child and his mother and flee to Egypt and remain until I tell you, for Herod's going to search for the child to destroy him. Herod's going to try to kill him. Angel appears and get out of here because Herod's going to try to kill him. So what does he do? Just what he's always done. He's always been obedient. Joseph, obedient to the Lord, just as did as he was told. Verse 14, Joseph got up, took the child, his mother, while it was still night, and left for Egypt, and he stayed there until the death of Herod, what he was supposed to do. Now, of course, you know what Herod did. He was such an evil man that he decided, since he knew that star appeared about 2 years earlier, what he decided to do is go ahead and go into the Bethlehem and the surrounding region and kill every little boy 2 years old and under about the time that the star had appeared. And that's what he did. But in verse 19, it says, but when Herod died, an angel of the Lord appeared to Joseph in a dream in Egypt. Once again, another time, get up, take the child and his mother and go back into the land of Israel, for those who have sought the child are dead. So Joseph got up, took the child and his mother and came. Joseph always does what he's supposed to do. He's a man of obedience. And notice this, but when he heard that Archelaus was running over Judea in the place of his father, Herod, he was afraid to go there. So being warned by God, guess how, in a dream, he left for the regions of Galilee and he came up and lived in a city called Nazareth, and that was spoken through the prophet that he'd be called a Nazarene. Warned by an angel, he obeys and goes to Nazareth. He always did what he's supposed to do. He was obedient. How do you and I respond to the Bible? Do we always do what it says? I mean, sometimes we ignore it, and sometimes we say, well, this is convenient, I can do it. Sometimes we accept it and live our lives based on it. Think about Joseph. Now, let me ask you something. What happened to him? I mean, when Jesus starts his ministry, how old is he? Anybody know? He's about 30 when he starts his ministry. And there's Mary and his family, but they never mention Joseph. And most believe that Joseph died. And so the questions might be is, Joseph's response is to always obey. How long did Joseph live? We know he had at least four sons, not counting Jesus, okay? Four sons and daughters. Look at this. Mark chapter 6, verse 3. Is this not the carpenter, the son of Mary, and the brother of James, and Joseph, and Judas, and Simon? You know that James, the brother of Jesus, James is the book of James, and the one, Judas, is the book Jude. And there's Joseph, he's named after his father. And there's Simon, we don't know anything about him. And are not his sisters here with us? There were at least seven in the family, counting Jesus. By the time Jesus began his ministry, Joseph must be passed away. So we've seen the Christmas story from Joseph's eyes. A man of character and righteous, he received a message from God, take Mary as your wife and provide and protect. And that's what he did. Now, he lived his whole life before he died with a stigma. He and Mary lived their whole lives with stigmas. Let me throw this out just for space of time. Do you remember when Jesus performed the very first miracle? The miracle was to change the water to wine in Cana of Galilee. And if you remember, they were all there, and Mary had been invited, and Mary invited Jesus and some of his disciples. And they're at the wedding, and they run out of wine. And why is it that Mary goes to Jesus and says, they ran out of wine? Well, she wants him to do something. You know what she wants? She wants him to do a miracle. Because, see, Cana is not very far from Nazareth. And when people saw Mary, they said, yeah, that Jesus, we don't know how he was born. I mean, we don't know who his daddy really is. She wanted to be vindicated by Jesus to do a miracle. And she could say, I told you he was something special. What a life. So let's think about application. Let's be men and women with the character of Joseph, righteous people See, righteousness comes by faith, and I hope and pray that every one of you in this room have put your faith in Christ, because by putting your faith in Christ, you are declared righteous by God. You're a righteous person. And I hope that every one of us have put our faith in Christ. Alexander McLaren said it this way: when a person trusts in Christ as Savior, they not only receive pardon, but the new life and righteousness of God. And so I hope and pray that every one of us are righteous. The second thing, I pray we're sensitive. At this time of the year, look around. Everybody's not happy. Everybody's not bubbling over. For some, it's a very sad time. There'll be some, for some people, this is the first Christmas without their loved one. Susie and I talked the other day. There's a whole bunch of first that first year. First Christmas, first Easter, first birthday, first this. That they're not here. Be sensitive. Love people. The third thing is be obedient people. Let's live by the Bible. Joseph, obey whatever God said in a dream. Go do this. He did it. Do whatever it said. Let's be men and women who obey. Let's live by the Bible. Let's be faithful men and women. And last but not least, let's not forget the true story of Christmas. That baby born in Bethlehem, the one from Mary and Joseph, the one that Herod tried to kill, that baby is the Savior of the world. And the real reason for Christmas is that Jesus Christ is the Savior of the world, and whoever will believe in him will never perish but have everlasting life. May we make it clear what Christmas is all about.